Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 10th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 70, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "To sum up about sex," and ending with, "When to yield would mean heartbreak." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Julie E.B. reading pages 164, and yeah, we don't have a backup today, but we'll make it. Our newcomer greeter is Judith R., and announcements will be Janice P.M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 9th, 2025, is 22,068 or 22068. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,070 or 22070. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Morning, Terry.
Actually, it's Laura W. reading the 12 steps today. Oh.
Laura, go for it.
Thanks, Stephanie. Hi, everyone. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R. in snowy Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you please keep your sharing directly linked to what we read. We're sharing what the direct big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 70, the second full paragraph beginning with, to sum up about sex, and ending with, when to yield would mean heartbreak. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for your service and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge. When to yield would mean heartache. And I was reflecting on this paragraph, and I realized that many of us may have issues with our sex history, yet many may not. However, the directions given here can be applied to all of us. And that would be because as perfectly imperfect human beings, we qualify. We have behavior history that needs to be changed. And so here, I'm guided, for example, with my urge to control people and circumstances. I can plug that right in here, and it applies that I be praying for that change of behavior, for the right ideal to strive for, and to have something to replace that control with, to be able to accept others and the situations as they are. You know, I can pray for the sanity that I need to be back in spiritual balance. If I get out of spiritual balance, I can ask for the strength to do the right thing so that I don't cross over to somebody else's side of the street and interfere with my best intentions. Ha ha, you know. And it's funny because it talks, I can just relate to all of this the same way. If it's a problem, if I feel the urge to control or have difficulty with that in the moment, I can focus on being of service. And doesn't that just be able to shift? That would be able to shift my whole way of thinking, doing at that moment. I'm just asking for that in the moment, to be able to change my focus, change my thinking, change my being. And so it takes us out of myself, and that would take me out of myself. Yeah, that imperious urge, that overbearing inner need to want to fix something with grief. So instead of going there, I can go, you know, focusing in on what I can do for others and not worry about what they're doing and not try to change them. So really, this prayer given here for the right ideal, questionable system, and for sanity and for strength can be applied to any area of our life. So again, grateful for the big book and the directions it gives me to be able to live a life of sane and useful. Thank you for letting me share with them.
Well, thank you so much, Penny. I'll see you in perfect timing. So thank you so much for getting us started. So we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you when your time is up. And please finish up promptly. So we're gonna go ahead and get. If you'd like to share, please share or please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sonia
MC from Chicago.
I heard Sonia. What was your last initial?
H.
And where are you from, Sonia?
California.
Gotcha. I didn't hear anybody else.
MC from Chicago.
Well, what was your first name?
Diane,
okay. And you're from Illinois. Gotcha. Who else would like to share?
Hi, this is Julie EB from Colorado.
Thank you, Julie. Gotcha. And do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lap? Did I hear someone? Okay. Well, we'll go with Sonia H., Diane MC, and Julie EB. And Sonia, you're going to be up first, followed by Diane MC. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. Sonia H. from California. So grateful for this meeting. Thank you, everyone who has done service. And I just want to say that I am grateful for the answers that the Big Book provides, even when it comes to this subject. You know, that I can have a different life than what I had before. And the Big Book tells me how I can have a better life, not just different, but better than what it was. That my higher power is always the answer. And being of service is part of the answer as well. You know, if I'm having trouble in this area when it comes to sex, relationships, you know, I can think of how to be of service and what I can do for other people. What can I do for my higher power? And I like what it says. It quiets the imperious urge when to when to yield would mean heartache. And I can say in my past, you know, I would let those urges yield me to a lot of heartache. I would take different avenues and paths that I don't have to choose today, that today I can be present with my higher power. I can show up and be of service. And I can live in serenity today if I choose to. And that's the beautiful thing about program. And I'm just grateful for all of you for being here in this reading, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sonia H. from California. Next up, we've got Diane M.C., followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, everyone. This is Diane M.C. in Chicagoland. And appreciate all the service that goes into this meeting. We throw ourselves the harder into helping others. You know, as soon as I heard those words read, immediately I thought, you know, we're here to get today all online because of that directive that was given to us a long time ago and that has been passed on. We think of others. This takes us out of ourselves. It just brought me back to when Dr. Bob and Bill had come together. On page 188, Dr. Bob had said, if you and I are going to stay sober, we'd better get busy. And did they ever? And that's where Alcoholics Anonymous number 3, another Bill, came on the scene. And, you know, it's gone on for decades and since, and showing that it does really work, especially, you know, putting these principles in our lives and getting out there and thinking of others. That's what it's really all about. Every day I have to surrender myself, what I want, keeping myself off the throne, and thinking of what I can do for others. Otherwise, I'm back into addictive behaviors. Me as an addict is a very self-absorbed person, and that's what's waiting for me without this program, a very self-absorbed person. So I'm really grateful for our founders that saw this as a necessity and many others that have picked up the mantle and said, we need to do this to get out of ourselves. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Diane M.C. from Chicago, Illinois. Next, we've got Julie E.B. Good morning, Julie. Julie, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I'm just so glad to be able to share this morning. This is a prayer that I use probably at least once or twice a week when I do a harm inventory in all different areas of my life. And I've found it very important, as I've said before, that there's three inventories and that I can use. Why would I only use God remove my fear save me from being angry? This prayer rocks my world. God mold my ideal, and then I typically think of my ideal with my family to be emotionally sober and trustworthy, not looking to others for reassurance, and then show me what to do in each questionable situation. And then I think through, did I help out financially with one of my kids or not? And then when I say, and God, restore me to sanity, my whole body relaxes because, you know, I can't restore myself to sanity. That's what steps 1, 2, and 3 are all about. So in steps 4 and 5, I have this prayer reminding me that it's God who gives me this blessing of sanity, which is a world in which I'm not in charge and there's bigger things than me. Whatever your higher power, my higher power is, show me what to, and then when I get to the next part and ask to help others to a focus if this is difficult on others. I always usually say, which usually is not myself or those closest to me, you know, helping others in this program is how I learn how to be loved and to love and the strength and humility to do the right thing. So, yeah, so I love this prayer. And I find that I find myself all the time needing to be brought back with his so-called earnest prayer to emotional, being emotionally sober and trustworthy. When I entered this program, I was over 100 pounds overweight. I maintained, you know, that for over, well, 7 years, 11 months now through this program and with the help of sponsoring others and living, as I said, I think last week, not by fear and resentment and shame, but being free to live, not terrifying, terrorizing, or shaming myself, but being able to live out of this gift of love where something else restores me to sanity, lets me be saved from my anger, and moves me from my fear to what God would have me be, which is loved and cared about and seen and heard.
Really,
and
that's time.
Thanks for listening today.
Well, thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. And we're going to take another lineup, but let me remind everybody where we're at in case you've just joined us. We are on page 70 this morning. We read the second full paragraph, beginning with "to sum up about sex," ending with "when to yield would mean heartbreak." We read that one paragraph, and we're sharing and commenting on that this morning. And if you would like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Leland P. in Germany.
I've got you, Leland P.
Thanks. Cindy H. in Michigan.
Cindy H., Michigan, gotcha. Do we have anyone else who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Okay, got you, Wendy, from Colorado.
Dion R. from Georgia.
Got you, Dion. And do we have anyone else? Okay, well, we'll hold with these four. I've got Leland P., Cindy H., Wendy M., Dion R. We're going to start
Bella
with
R.
P. I'm sorry, who was that? What's your name?
Rella R. from Brooklyn.
Is that
New York.
Rella?
R-E-L-L-A.
Okay, got you. Rella R. We'll get you in there then. So we're going to go ahead and start with Leland P., followed by Cindy H. Good morning, Leland.
Good morning, recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. I'm grateful to be here, and I have been so blown away by the shares in the past days on these sex paragraphs and the honesty and the openness. And I don't think I've ever sat in a room full of women or on a line full of women who like use sex and flirtation and men the way I do. I didn't realize this was something that we shared as compulsive overeaters. And I've been too scared to share on it myself, but I thought, well, this is the last chance. It's the last paragraph on it now. And this morning I heard someone say that her ideal, this first sentence, "we earnestly pray for the right ideal for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and for strength." But her ideal previously was just to be wanted. That was all. Like, if he wants me, that's my ideal. And that pretty much describes me and my sex life. I mean, as long as I wasn't grossed out by him. But if he wanted me, I mean, what I really wanted was to be loved. And I wanted someone to want to know me and love me, be close to me, but if he had sexual desire for me, I would let that be enough. And it didn't matter if he's married or has a girlfriend. Like, he wants me. I'm worth something. And in the beginning, that tasted sweet. It tasted like candy until it started to rot because of what I wasn't, the intimacy that we weren't sharing, the true intimacy. As I've shared before, I have been housebound. I'm mostly bedbound for 16 years. So, and I've also, my illnesses are neurological and I have very low energy limits. So I haven't been in any kind of physical relationship in all that time, but I have had about 4 or 5 situations where I was sexting. But again, like, one was a married man that I was sexting with, another had a girlfriend, and I feel like I don't, how can there be an ideal for me? I don't even know how I would be capable for showing up for a relationship. I wouldn't expect a man to want to share a life the way I have to live it. But I, at the bottom of that is this root of just not feeling worthy. I mean, I didn't feel worthy of that before when I was walking on 2 legs and out about in the world. And I think that right now, what matters is that I work the steps. What matters is that I do my 4-step inventory, that I do my sex inventory, that I clear away the crap. Thank you. And I'll just end with God will show me. And it's my job to be of service. And I'm grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Leland P. from Germany. Next up, Cindy H., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, I'm Cindy H., recovered compulsive overeater in Troy, Michigan. And my nightly review, I was saying one of the things I could do better was to share on the meeting, so I'm here today. I wanted to be in full integrity and do what I said I needed to do. This is not my favorite paragraph, but it really is everything that I need in this program. Boy, I was so selfish in my relationship with my husband and resentful when I first started this program, and I still need daily help with that. I'm so grateful for sponsors and the fellows in this program and the speakers and these meetings and the step work that have reminded me about what my relationship ideals are to be. And I need daily work on this. And I have seen progress. And my some of my OA friends and sponsors have seen progress. And one thing is my tolerance in getting a thicker skin. And also, instead of being selfish, to be helpful. And in many ways, especially with my husband, and for the resentment, also the forgiveness and that question of, have I ever done that? You know, usually I have. So I just love this program. It's helped me so much. And I'll pass with that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy H. from Michigan. Next, we've got Wendy M., followed by Dion R. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Stephanie, thanks for taking the meeting and everybody. So when I first read this, I was like, I really don't want to look at this, you know. So here's the deal. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm also a sex and love addict. So I know a lot about using men my whole life, probably using people, if I'm honest, but using men my whole life, right? So I'm super familiar with this paragraph. To the extent that my need for attention was so great that a police officer had to arrest me and put me in jail because, and I don't say that to like be shocking, I say it to say, this disease, our bedevilments, our defects of character, they can happen to anybody at any time. Like, that's the extent. That's the degree to which, you know, I've done damage in this area. But I want to say something, which is, you know, God wants us to be useful, and feeling useful is phenomenal. But when my using other human beings gets in the way, I can't be useful. So it's always going to go back for me of how can I be useful to God and my fellows. You know, and then it says guidance in each questionable situation. I got to tell you, it's not questionable. I know exactly when I'm using. I know exactly when I start using in a conversation or wherever, whatever relationship I'm in. And God makes that possible. You see, we have a program where I have these defects of character. But the miracle is that when I start using, when I start doing questionable things, I get a chance to course correct, right? I get to say to myself, God's tapping on my shoulder and God's saying, like, this is itchy and scratchy and this isn't going to work. In other words, it's not that we are perfect, it's that we have a design for living that gives us an opportunity for God to say, we need to course correct here. You're not being useful right now. You're using another human being. And as in harder to help others, absolutely, 100%. I don't think I felt worse when I picked up the phone and helped another human being, or when they called me and I picked up their call. I don't think I've ever felt worse. I've only felt better, right? And that's because it's an action program. We take action and these fears, this usefulness, this uselessness, you know, dissipates. That's kind of what happens. And it really does quiet the imperious urge, because I have not yielded and I have had heartache. And that's what we learn. We have heartache and we learn, and then we're able to course correct. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Dion R., followed by Rella R. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Peace for you and Stephanie and all who's on the line. And now to sum it up about such. Well, I'm like, Lord, you know, what can I say, you know, to be helpful? But I love to share, like someone said, it's like an educational part. And that's how I learned about healthy sex in the program of recovery, where other people said, situation and dealt with sex abuse. I haven't heard it all in the last 2 or 3 days, and it's been very helpful, enlightening, and it's nothing to be afraid of. And it reassures me that what the big book says, you know, even in a party, our sex hours are godly. It's what I do with it. It's when it causes problems for me and between me and God and another human being. And then also, I can always go to God for anything. It's like, if God gave me the sex powers, whatever it is, I can use it for his anointing, his highest good, right? And it says, even in Alcoholics Anonymous or the program of recovery, I'll say, just to go to so many programs, is that God will guide you, for me, and many of us have guided us into the right idea of what's best for us, each person. Because it's not for me to judge anyone else, like any other power he has given me. The power to talk. The power to share my experience, strength, and hope. I can't use it and say I did it. I got to get a credit back where credit came from. And it's from my higher power through all of you. So, yes, it may be troublesome. I do know one thing. Whatever's trouble. Food is trouble. What? Working with others, man, it's just to throw yourself the harder into helping others. That's what keeps me out of the problems, the heartaches, the headaches, having to make amends for using, you know, whatever. It's just like it quiets the imperious urge, whatever urge to eat, urge to vent, urge to curse, whatever, you know, that bring me heartache and messes with my conscious contact with God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for allowing me to share and be a part of this recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Dion R. from Georgia. Next, we've got Rella R. Good morning, Rella.
Good morning. Good morning, fellow travelers on Vision for You. I haven't shared in a long, long time. I just want to express my gratitude for the leaders in this meeting and all the people who do service. It's a wonderful way to start my day. So I'm a returning compulsive overeater with many relapses, currently on a good streak, thank God, with a reprieve. I keep it in mind that it's a one-day reprieve that I get from higher power as I continue to work this program. So in terms of the sex inventory, I'm divorced and I haven't been in a relationship for years. And this area, the area of intimacy, has been hard. I grew up with a lot of shame and a lot of bad messages, just unhealthy messages around sex. And I'm grateful, I'm so grateful to this program, to Bill Wilson, who took every part, who just saw every part of human nature and human behavior as being healed by these 12 steps. So I have been an SLAA member, and I'm a member in other programs. But this line always gets me, the line about where are we here? If sex is very troublesome, or I can substitute any word over there. Food is very troublesome. If relationships are troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. So while I do need to practice self-care, I just love the focus of doing service for others. And I know that there's a 10-step format that often that one of my sponsors had taught me ends with, after I say the 7-step prayer about God removing all my defects of character and granting me courage as I go out from here, to say, and I will now turn my attention to someone to whom I can be of service, because that is the one of the best ways to get me out of ruminating about my own problems and my own self and my own, and getting into woe me. So much gratitude to this program, much gratitude to all of you fellow travelers, and with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rella R. from New York. And we still have some time for probably about 3 or 4 more people to share. If you'd like to share, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Danae M.
Florida.
I heard someone Barbara M. E. Who was that?
Barbara E.
Danae M.
I got you, Barbara, but I heard there was someone up first there. Who was that?
Jordan R.
Florida.
Okay. If the person who said their name first could say it again, who was that?
I think it might have been Bruce E. in Florida, but I'm not sure.
No, Bruce, I think you were second. There was someone before you with a last initial M. Who was that? I didn't get you. And I think you tried to say it twice. What? One more time? Was that Susan M? I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Not able to hear you. We'll let that person kind of figure out their technical difficulties, but I did hear Bruce E, and I think that was Barbara W. And then there was someone after that.
Danae.
I'm sorry? Yeah, I think that's the same person. You're breaking up. We can't hear you. Who else would like to share? Bruce E. and Barbara W.
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Sherry, I've got you. Sherry H.M. from Washington. Okay, well, pause there with those three. I've got Bruce E., Barbara W., Sherry H.M. Bruce, you'll be up first, followed by Barbara. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Darn it, I thought somebody was going to go before me. Okay. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm very grateful for this call. I'm grateful for the meetings we've had here recently that talk about this sex situation. And yeah, so I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate all the shares too. Well, let's see. I've been married now 40 years. I'm in my second marriage, but married 40 years. And I haven't gone out on my wife, but I'd have to, I got to be honest, my thoughts haven't been pure all the time, you know. And I have to keep catching myself on that and talking to fellows about it and stuff like that. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. And that prayer is powerful. And yeah, before I got married in this marriage, I was sexually active and probably hurt a lot of people, caused a lot of jealousy and resentment, fear, and everything else for myself and others. During the course of this study and this subject here, especially the last week or so, I thought about it, and I thought that my ideals were having sex with people I wasn't married to. My ideals were this person, if they have sex with me, then they value me, and then I feel like I have more value, and then I can feel better about myself. And so it was all about my self-esteem and my how I valued myself. And my values of myself were so low and so minimal that I just needed somebody to care about me and have sex with me. You know, if they had sex with me, they really cared about me, and then that made me feel like I had value. And it was totally out of whack, crazy. It wasn't. I don't get my value from having sex with somebody. I get my value from my higher power and from helping other people. So, but that was what I was hung up on for years, that my value is going to come from somebody else because they think highly enough of me to have, or lowly enough, or whatever it is, they think enough of me to have sex with me. The most intimate thing. Yeah, okay, the most intimate thing I could have done with people, and I was using it for the wrong purpose. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Brucey from Florida. Next, we've got Barbara W., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Barbara. And actually, it might have been Barbara E. I think I might have gotten the last initial wrong.
I do think it was Barbara E., but Barbara W. Yes. Is welcome to go in before me.
No, it was you, Barbara. Sorry. I got the last initial one. Please go ahead.
Those initials are you know what. Well, this is Barbara E. from New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater. I always felt I was one of the ones that was incapable of getting this program. I knew my disease was going to kill me. I couldn't stop, and I knew I needed something different than the pay and weigh programs. I even became a lecturer, but I always lost the weight and gained it back. And when I did my fourth step and then revealed it to my sponsor, I said, I don't know what to talk about with sex. I'm in my eighth decade now. Sex is far behind me. And she said, just look at any ideal you have that you think needs improvement. And I know at one time all I needed was to make a good impression, to put up a false front, and that's all I had. I played the game. If it looked good, it is good. Today I do that less. I know the OA path is not always comfortable or smooth, but it is leading me to freedom, one prayer, one meeting, one phone call, one honest share with my sponsor, and making an honest assessment of my spiritual blockers and the problems each create, like being super critical, super judgmental, dishonest, controlling, fearful. And as I do this and look at my ideals, it helps me see what I can do to change. It helps me to be free of old patterns that stifle growth, cutting away old growth to make room for new growth, to enable my roots to grasp new soil, enriched by the sunlight, to finally be willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I don't know, will you help me? And everything I think I know, I don't. And I have to be patient and accept my higher power's timetable and believe I can be enough and be worthy enough and be loved enough so I can change everything in my life so I can love other people. And for me, that's my ideal. My ideal is what I try to live by, and I live by it imperfectly. But I have a plan, and I may not do it perfectly, but I do it anyway. So those roots are grasping new soil today, and I have prayers for the people in California and the people engulfed by all the snow and for all the suffering people in the world. I love you and thank you for your service. I pass. Have a beautiful day. Oh,
thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. And Sherry H.M., we got 1 minute, friend. Do you want to take the 1 minute?
Sure. This is Sherry H.M., recovered or compulsive eater and sugar addict from Washington State. And just with reading of this, the strength to do the right thing, you know, after earnestly praying. When I was working specifically on that, you know, God revealed that I just would sometimes get too emotionally, you know, close to a man. And it wouldn't lead, you know, to physical stuff. That definitely was a boundary, but you know, higher power just revealed that, yeah, I shouldn't be, you know, women especially tend to be emotionally wired. And so it's like, yeah, I have to have really, really good, healthy boundaries, you know, even with talking. So anyway, that's what I encourage my sponsees to pray about also, you know, those emotional things that may or may not lead to other things. So thank you so much, and thanks for your service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. That was perfect timing. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Julie E.B., can you please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.